A couple of years ago, Ted Dintersmith embarked on a cross-country trip stopping in all 50 states. His goal was to raise awareness of the need to reimagine our country's education system and to learn about some of the innovative ways teachers, students, and school district administrators are trying to do that. Dintersmith has written books and produced films on education and its impact on society. His trip resulted in his most recent book, What School Could Be: Insights and Inspiration from Teachers Across America. Dintersmith joins me. And Ted, when you talk about what school could be and the potential there and some of the experiments some schools and districts are undertaking, ideally, to get where we should be, how big of a shift do we actually need to make?
Well, it varies. You know, there are some schools that are quite far evolved and are doing really remarkable things, and then there are an awful lot of schools that are doing kind of same old, where you know, students are basically pushed to memorize material, replicate low-level procedures, and follow instructions. And so those schools have some distance to cover.
In terms of the actual model of how school works, I mean, you make a reference to, in the book, of some schools are basically preparing kids to enter a world that doesn't exist anymore. Is that model even functional anymore? I mean, do we need to rethink the way that schools operate?
But the world's going to change dramatically. I mean, it already is, and the impact of technology is accelerating. And so we really can't imagine what the world would be like in 10 to 20 years. And to me, that has profound ramifications for what we do with, to, and for our kids in school. And if you understand that they will have to invent and reinvent and reinvent their own ways to contribute to society as adults, then the question is, how do you set them up to be able to do that during those precious years we call school?
Are schools and teachers set up to do that right now?
You know, teachers, I'm a big fan of teachers. Teachers desperately want to do great things for their kids. What I'm not a fan of is the testing regimen that we insist and impose on our schools and our teachers. And those tests, you know, I understand the intent behind them, but I always encourage people to start looking at some of those questions and then say, if I get really good at the things required to answer these questions, is that even remotely relevant later in life? And people conclude it's not relevant.
So in terms of some of the things that schools and districts and teachers are trying that are maybe a little more outside the box than what people are think of as a traditional school environment, what strikes you as things that are maybe really have a lot of potential to change things for the better?
Well, what gets me excited in schools is when kids have a voice in the problems they take on, when the teachers are trusted to engage and inspire their kids, which, by the way, is why they entered the profession, and where when they get good at something in school and ask, is this useful later in life, our answer is yes, because all too often the answer is no. And that often takes the form of identifying and carrying forward an initiative with some connection to the real world that's complicated, you know, that draws on multiple disciplines, maybe has you working with other classmates, where you try some things that don't work and then just keep at it until you get something really good. But at the end of the day, what's produced by the student, we could evaluate. We can look directly at what they've made or created or invented or wrote.
Well, it's interesting because in my high school experience, and I suspect I'm not alone in this, I can distinctly remember sitting in class thinking, when am I ever going to have to use this in my life, learning whatever it was? It sounds like maybe what you're saying is that those concepts aren't the problem. It's maybe the way they're being presented and the way students are being taught to think about those concepts.
Yeah. And a lot of it is we sort of dumb it down and push it to a level of symbolic abstraction. And one example I use in my talks is, what's the best way to teach a kid about electricity, to get them excited about science? And I say, if they shadowed a master electrician, they would understand so much about the science and the physics of electricity. Instead, we have them memorize Coulomb's law. You know, to what end? So what if you can memorize the formulas? If you don't understand how it connects to the real world, have you really learned much? And I think one of the things we've done in school is to systematically reduce and eliminate any form of hands-on, any form of applied, all to have them pursue more intensely a college-ready, very academic context that I'm skeptical kids are learning much when they do that.
So does that suggest to you that more of school maybe needs to be experiential instead of sitting in a classroom the way we traditionally think about school?
Yeah, and it has so many benefits. I mean, the kids, when they see they're working on something that matters, their engagement goes way up. You're really getting at more the kids' interest and motivation and talents than parents pushing them through something that they say is boring and irrelevant. And then you see a lot of that in schools. And it builds in them this really important sense of purpose.
So I have to ask you about resources, because obviously for schools to do anything, they need money. And we've seen so much recently about teachers demanding higher pay and schools and districts in general being underfunded here in Arizona and elsewhere. How big of a role do resources play in schools and teachers' ability to do some of these things?
Resources for schools are a bit like how much money you have in life. You know, going from adequate to excessive doesn't really get you much. We're not at adequate in many of our schools. And I'm a big fan of what teachers did in Arizona this spring, sort of taking things in their own hand. From my perspective, it's waging a war on what is the heart and soul of our democracy. Where are our priorities?
Well, is there a difference, do you think, in terms of the discussion that needs to happen between resources for teachers, namely their salaries, and resources that go into the classroom? Are we thinking about this in the right way?
I think the short version is no. I mean, when we do a $1.5 trillion tax cut for the wealthiest individuals and well-off corporations, and at the same time take away teachers' ability to deduct the money they spend out of their own pocket to buy school supplies, I think that says something's really off here. And I don't think the answer is, you know, carpet bombing a school or a district with fancy computer technology. I think ed tech is often misused. But I think there's sort of a level of support for kids in these schools, particularly the kids in the toughest neighborhoods, that we're kind of turning a blind eye to. And one of the points that I think we as a society have to come to grips with is if we continue to spend the most on the kids that need the least and the least on the kids that need the most help, we're not giving kids a level playing field to move forward.
All right. That's Ted Dintersmith. His new book is called What School Could Be. Ted, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.